Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, how to reply when fellow Christians insist on debunking the rapture as they attempt to steal your blessed hope. Earlier today, NTEB-er Gregory Kyle posted a video to our site from a group called Tomorrow's World, and this video had a title called The Rapture Debunked in Three Questions, and Gregory wanted to know if anybody had ever heard of these people from Tomorrow's World. So, naturally, I checked it out. The group is a ministry from the Living Church of God, an offshoot of the old Worldwide Church of God led by Herbert W. Armstrong, who taught a mix of Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, British Israelism, with a touch of Seventh-day Adventist thrown in just for fun. These are the people telling you there is no church-age pre-tribulation rapture. But it doesn't end with the cults. There are plenty of mainstream Christian denominations who are trying to debunk the rapture as well. So, tonight, we debunk them. Matthew 24:29, the favorite go-to verse of every anti-pre-trib rapture Christian, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. On this episode, somebody is trying to steal your faith in one of the most precious promises that God has for his children in the church age. We call it the pre-tribulation rapture. But it's not just the cults who are doing this junk. More often than not, the attacks, and that's exactly what they are, come from fellow Christians about whom Paul said, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Amen. So tonight we will take the entire 22-minute video debunking the rapture, answering every point that they raise, rightly divided and dispensationally correct. And in doing so, give you the tools that you need for the next time a fellow Christian comes alongside and looks to seal your blessed hope. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy and for your goodness. We thank you, God, for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, the roof over our head. We're glad and we're grateful. And Lord, tonight we are going to look at one of the most precious promises that you have in your word for us here at the end of the church age. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know what Paul says? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One more, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And Heavenly Father, we hold tightly to these precious promises tonight. And Lord, we stand ready to do battle against any and all that would seek to steal these promises from us. And tonight, Lord, we're going to use the sword of the Spirit. We're going to use your preserved word, and we're going to see what the truth is about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And God, we commit this time to you. We're thankful. We're grateful. Be with us now, Lord, and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been doing this online Bible study for about 4,000 hours. That's about 12 years of broadcasting time. And during that time period, we have done programs like this where somebody makes a video, and it's a slick, nicely produced video with a very confident and authoritative speaker telling you why the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is not true. And they claim to be from a Christian church just like you are. But they don't believe what you believe. And over the years, we have taken on these type of videos before. And tonight, we're going to do it again. And this particular video that we're going to be talking about, it's actually called Debunking the Rapture. That's what it's actually literally called. Now, you have to remember, anytime that you're talking with somebody who says that they are a Christian and they don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, that doesn't make them a bad person. That doesn't make them an unsaved person. That makes them somebody who doesn't understand the Bible that they read. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And if you don't rightly divide, one of the problems that you get into is you don't see a difference between the rapture of the church and the rapture of the tribulation saints. If you don't rightly divide, you don't see a difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming. And so rightly dividing is possibly the most important verse after salvation, the most important verse anywhere in your Bible for the born-again, blood-washed, blood-bought Christian who lives like you and I do in the church age. Now, if you remember the Bible study that we did back on December 7th of last year, you remember that we learned all about not just the rapture, and not just the rapture of the church. But when we opened our King James Bibles back in December, we found that there were seven major raptures in the Bible. Not one, not two, not three, four, five, six, but there were seven raptures found inside your King James Bible. And just very briefly, they are the rapture of Enoch, Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's number one. Number two was the rapture of Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And then there was the rapture of Jesus himself, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Number four is our rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet. It's not a trumpet, but it's like a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The fifth rapture is the rapture of the 144,000. In Revelation chapter 7, they are down on the earth getting sealed. And in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. How did they get from the earth to heaven? They were raptured. Number 6, the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, they get raptured. Revelation chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And rapture number 7, we find in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. This is the post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. Matthew 24, 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, not a voice, a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And these are the seven raptures in the Bible that we have identified. If you think that you have found rapture number 8, 9, 10, or whatever, please let me know, and I'll be very happy to take a look at that. But as far as I know, as far as I can see, there are seven raptures that take place, Old Testament, New Testament. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is the difference between the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the post-tribulation rapture of the tribulation saints. I hope you're ready for a really in-depth, page-turning Bible study. We're going to look at about 1,000 different Bible references, and it's going to be an action-packed time. I promise you that. So very, very glad that you're here tonight.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. Those that remain.
Jesus comes again.
As I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, son, go get your children. And at the midnight,
because the rapture will come and Christ will return. It says in the Bible that he will come as a thief in the night.
Sleep in bed, she hears a noise and time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons dined. The Son has come and you
to fly away. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52 say this: Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I don't know about you, but this is what the Bible calls the blessed hope, and it is my blessed hope, and you can't take it from me. I can share it with you. I'll be happy to give it to you by way of teaching you the word about the blessed hope, but you can't take it. It is too precious of a promise, and I am holding on to it the way I have been for the last 3+ decades, and I hope you are too. Speaking of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, we got an email last week from one of the producers of the original Left Behind movie series. And he wants to talk with me about partnering between what his company does and what Now the End Begins does. And I don't know where that will lead, so please pray about that, that the Lord would give me wisdom. But that's exciting. I would love to talk with the people that produced the original Left Behind movie, talking about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we are going to have a phone call. They reached out last week, and they want to talk with us about some sort of a project together. And I am very much looking forward to that. All right, in just about 2.5 minutes, we are going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it into the chat room, and we'll be happy to lift it up together as a church family. And we're going to do that right after this.
The preacher got up and said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone." But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. "I need to know before we pray." An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request.
Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, "Sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand." When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
unspoken request.
Amen. Our God can absolutely hear an unspoken request. And I love our time of prayer and praise, and I hope you do as well. And in just a minute, we are going to go to the Lord for our time of prayer and praise. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. You're better than we deserve. And Father God, we pray for lost souls tonight. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark. In Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, Trista, and Tara, and two great grandbabies as well. We're praying for Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland, Carrier, and their families. My three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, my niece, Melissa, and my daughter, Christy, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members in the Bolton family. Dina Kruger praying for Jordan Shapiro. David Peck. Susan Weirs Bickey is asking prayer for Valerie and Marie. Those are her daughters. And her husband Greg Sr. and husband Greg Jr. Jeffrey is asking prayer for Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin, asking prayer for unsaved Catholic family members. Connie's three children. Brandy, asking prayer for her family's salvation. Rita in Colorado, praying for Dan. Ron needs to be saved. Spray of sunshine for three sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon, praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Jan Lacker for son David. Barbara praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Shandell. Nicole Zimmer praying for her best friend and her family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne praying for Barry K, Terry C, Alan G, Melody, Nick, Rick. No, this list is wrong. This list is no good. I'm sorry about that. I'm reading from an old list. Let me see if I can figure that out. Werner Bukes praying for Bob and Abby. Nancy asking for prayer for Brandon and Michelle. Kathy Hughes' son, Haley, praying for Zane. Lulu, unsaved family members, Miles and his family. Hold on a second. Ah, that's a much better list. There we are. Well, yep, that's okay. Sorry about that. I was reading from an old list. Let me see if I can pick up where I left off. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock, 4-year-old Savannah and mother, Stephanie. Werner Bukes for Bob and Abby. Junie, Grant, and their dad for salvation. Kathy Hughes' son, Lulu, has unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to be saved. Lots of unsaved people in the Giacomino family. Dawn D. praying for David. Paul Caulfield for his brother-in-law, Frank. Ramona Hayes says, please pray for my daughter, Kimberly. She needs to get saved and sober. And please pray for my grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shanna, Lori B. Shira McPherson, salvation prayer for children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell. Kevin Thompson praying for his father, Tim. Steve Graves, Elga. Rob praying for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T. for her husband, retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, Tad Broom's brother Thad, Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie, praying for parents, sisters, and brother-in-law. Joe Russiello for his mom, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen praying for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, Jason and Carrie. Lola's son, William, and his wife, Lindsay. Hannah's mom needs to be saved. Anja praying for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans for his friend Taylor, Viviana for her brother Javier Reyes, Adam and Katie for their neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian, Loretta Oates for her sons Kenny and Matthew, Jane for her son Troy, Julie Lynn for Katie Ann, Chona for family members, Chuck Edgerton for his son Jacob and mom Lynette, Samantha is praying for Beth, Deborah Hare for unsaved family members, Rita, unsaved Catholic family members, Teresa, Lisa, Annabelle, Deborah Milton, Hap Nightingale, all with children and parents who are not saved, Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia, Norman Merkel, praying for daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and for Lynette Crew, Henrique Larson, for his parents Kygel and Elizabeth, for his sister and spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, and for his mom's Aunt Barrett. Roz praying for lost family members. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington. Gail is praying for Jim. Rapture 57 for unsaved family members. Marisol Barcina, unsaved Catholic family members in Panama. Shirley Meador for her brother and his wife, Eric Brian Huey. For his parents, Anna and Norillo, members of his family and co-workers. Tony the Carpenter and his son, Cole, Kenny B., unsaved family, Rachel K., Sandra C., Marky Mark, Regina Danner, all with unsaved family, Haley's aunt and family for salvation, the Breida family, Stacy Bunton for her husband, Rachel Adams for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley to get saved and sober. Mark for his children. Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter Michaela. Mitch for his daughters Rachel, Hannah, and their husbands. The delivery people who service the bookstore. Jericho for his family. Brenda's husband, Paul. Kenny for friends and family. Amanda for Melanie and Payton. The Muto family. Steph, Terry. Steph is praying for Michael, Terry for her family. Xavier for his mother Reyes, wife Selma, daughters Clara and Lulu, and other family members. Maria Silva for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn for children Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law. The La Piana family for extended family members. Dave Evans for his friend Diana. Sue Duchesne's son, Norman, CJ's mom. Shira Shine for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis. Loretta Watsney's husband and children. Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith. Shirley praying for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard, Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Moniz, and her husband, Hamid. Marianne Ellie's children, Anne Marie and Christine. Grandchildren, John and Marie and Christine, and grandchildren, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace, son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shanna, grandson Caden. Beth Peck's husband David, as well as her children Heather and Damien, and in-laws Barb and Jack. Terry Ewing's daughter Bryn, Teresa M's sons James, Peter, and Frank. Jose De La Rosa's mom, Alicia, Patricia T. for her son, Adam. Chelsea and Brian Plagman for son, Bryce, and girlfriend, Eva. Zuzana, Vladimira for her husband, Ken, and for her friend, Katka. Steph for her brother, Michael. Cassandra for husband, Todd, and sons, Nathan, Andrew, and Sonny. Marie Sim for her ex-husband, for her son, John, daughter, Tracy, and their families. Jean-Paul Mesa for his Catholic mom, Deborah Mack for John and Brenda, Zach Jeffson's mom and uncle, Katrina, Chelsea P. for Mike T., Mia for children Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ. Holly, please add my husband Nick to the prayer list. Rob, please pray for my friend Eddie. Deborah Mack for Brandy, Char for mom and extended family, Linda for Richard Kitzmiller, Heather W. for daughter Sophia. Carly Hamill says, salvation for Catholic family in Maine, California, and for my Congolese family. Angela Moffitt for her son Matthew, Brooke for her friend Courtney, and husband James. Veronica Higginbotham for son Gustav Isgrig. Deborah Mack, she says, I had a brother named Tim. He died at age 30. Please pray for the salvation of his widow and two sons. They are Lisa, Kale, and Dane. Amen. People who need a healing today. Lori Ann says, please pray for my mom. That's my mother-in-law. She's battling cancer and chemo. Drina Peacock, wife of Jacksonville pastor David Peacock, battling lung cancer. And pray for a complete healing for Drina. Cher, praying for grandson's girlfriend's mother, Ruby. Had a stroke, a brain aneurysm on April 3rd. Steve says, my granddaughter's husband, Austin, has been diagnosed with a type of bone cancer and possibly might have his leg amputated. And we are praying for that God will save the leg and give Austin a healing from cancer. Peggy Caulfield, still suffering from a horrible rash. Gail has an unspoken, God knows the need, amen. Daniel from Australia, mental health issues and strength. Alicia Guzdek, mental health issues. Joe and Linda, prayer for guidance. I'm going to modify that. They are making the move. It is not possible. It is an actual move that they are making. So please pray for our good friends, Joe and Linda, that God will give them wisdom and guidance when they move to Tennessee. Stephanie, for her husband Andy's battle with alcoholism and for his salvation. Julie, please pray for me and my family. We're under spiritual attack. Julie Baird, please pray for my Aunt Dee, who has COVID pneumonia and a blockage in her intestines. Krista is battling 4 tumors in her chest. Gail says, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Rick Reynolds, please pray for my children, Carrie, Abby, and Grace, and grandbaby Lilia. Amanda Emaul, battling cancer and chemo. Annetta, she had a stroke in 2022, and we're praying for a complete healing for her. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H. for health issues. James Rivette, he's looking for work. Robert Wiley has ALS disease. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp has autism. Dan Kane's wife, Roxy, has MS. And he also wants prayer for their son, Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy has severe arthritis in her spine, diabetes type 2, and a fatty liver. Michelle Christian is battling bone cancer. Rob Beatty, battling stage 4 liver cancer. Melissa B's husband, Brian, has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. KC is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane wants prayer for the salvation of her parents and brother and for her husband to have a healing. Jackie H., wants God's favor regarding her ex in custody of her son. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Stacy is going through a divorce. Terry Horn has had several strokes and needs a walker. Casey says, please keep my husband on the list. He is unsaved and he is a severe alcoholic. I got an email earlier today from somebody battling with alcohol, and I'm looking forward to talking with him on the phone. If you battle alcohol, don't do it alone. Reach out. This is one of the reasons why you have an NTEB family. I'll be very happy to get on the phone with you and talk with you and pray with you. Don't do it alone. Tom Rance is getting better. His son Coulter says his mind is starting to come back and his personality and liveliness is returning as well. And he had a stroke and a brain bleed last year. Jeanette's sister Kathy has health issues. She's recovering from eye surgery. Her husband Robert and Aunt Linda have macular degeneration. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. Ashley DeShields continues to battle West Nile virus, the after effects. Teresa G. has macular degeneration. Linda Benjamin, prayer for overall health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb have health issues. Irma needs prayer for a healing. She has tumors in her bladder. Jerry in Australia says, please pray for my sister-in-law, Nikki. She took the jab and she has lung cancer. She's also not saved. Regina Danner. Regina gave a praise report. Chris's ankle doing much better. Amen. Ladies who are expecting. On the list now we have Char's daughter Miranda, due April 27th. Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P. She gave birth to little baby Megan at 29 weeks, and we are continuing to pray for Jordan and baby Megan. Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, Spray of Sunshine, asking prayer for her son and girlfriend who are expecting twins. Anna De La Rosa and Jose are expecting, well, Jose, hold, let me just, I don't like this, let me change this. Jose and Anna De La Rosa are expecting their third baby. Prayers for a healthy pregnancy and delivery for all these ladies and babies. Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Sean wants prayer for the attorneys to release the funds so he can finish home repairs after Hurricane Ian. John Walker and his wife, please pray for our gospel track ministry. Jan Lacker for family issues and salvation for her son David, protection for her son with the disabilities, for her marriage, and for a healing for her. Julie Baird, living situation and finances. Deborah Mack for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass, son Tristan. Linda LaPiana, please pray for my kids, Stephen, Daniel, and Christopher, to return to the Lord, and also for Stephen and his wife, Hannah, financial situation. Dina says, please pray for my son, Jordan Shapiro. He's studying in Japan until May. Please pray for his safety and salvation. And Karen is looking to get a job at the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Please pray for that. People with an unspoken. The LaPiana family, Dave M. We have had Bill and Marilyn on the list, and I had a great email chat with Bill the other day, and he said the Lord answered all our unspokens. You can take us off the list, and we are happy to do that. Praise the Lord. So the LaPiana family, Dave M., Jeanette, Adrian Breda, Debbie Mathias, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Erad Bairu Mumishu, Bonnie Marie Comfort, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Lulu, Linda Pippin, Andrew, and Lorianne. Please remember our free Bible and gospel tract program in your prayers. We have an update a little bit later on that. In the Philippines, please remember our overseas pastors, John Redini and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Pho John. In Turkey, Luann is an American missionary. India, Pastor David Mark. In the UK, Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, Irad Bairomumishu. And in Spain, Xavier. Please remember our NTEB street preachers, Brian Kelly of the King James Bible Baptist Church in New York City. Him and his team are coming to the camp meeting. So if you've been looking forward to meeting Brian Kelly and his team, you'll be able to do it at the camp meeting. Please pray for him and Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge, Marie in Philadelphia. Mike Avram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Jay in New York City, Joseph Russiello in Eagle Pass. Joshua Gaskins has a gospel tract ministry in Virginia, and Aaron and Teresa McMahon of CPR Missions. And Aaron is going to be one of our preachers at the camp meeting as well. Up in Canada, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Werner Bukes. In South Africa, Arthur Hueys. And in Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. All right, let's go to the chat room tonight. Wow, we got a lot from the chat room. That's great. Steve M. says, my significant other, Becky, is battling gallbladder cancer. Please continue to pray for the Lord to comfort Becky as her time is approaching. So Steve's wife, Becky, is getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. Please pray for the entire family. And the same for Rob Beatty. His doctors say that he's not going to make it much past the month of June. And he has been preparing to go home and be with the Lord. So pray for Steve and Becky and Rob Beatty. Alan says, I can't make it to the Bible study tonight, but please pray for my friend Robert Wunsch. I am with him right now in Muskegee, Oklahoma hospital, waiting for him to come out of triage. As soon as they come and let me know, I'll let you know. I'll be listening if it's at all possible. Lots of crazy stuff happening. What an exciting time the Lord has allowed us to live in. Bless his holy name. So Alan says, please pray for Robert Wunsch. He is in the hospital, the Muskegee, Oklahoma hospital. And if he's in triage, he's been in some sort of an accident, so please pray for Robert Wunsch. Regina Danner, Chris's ankle is better. Amen. Reggie needs a healing from cancer. Sandra and John for salvation. Annabelle says, thank you all for praying for my wife, Vilma. Her surgery on Friday went very well, and praying for a quick recovery. I love you all. Amen. We love you too. Java Johnny, can everybody please say a prayer for my friend Neil's wife, Desiree? She is battling ovarian cancer. Dominica Dominguez, please pray for my dad, James. He is not saved and suffering from COPD. Jeanette has a new one spoken. Nomina Azim, please pray that I can grow more in the Lord. Angela, outpatient procedure being done on Friday for stomach ulcer. Everything is healed. They are just checking me out. Amen. Charlie on the highway. Help us, Lord Jesus. Some of us have pains that we don't know how to deal with, but just to cry out for you. And please keep Charlton and his wife, Deb, in your prayers. And the Lord knows the need, but please keep Charlton and Deb at the top of your prayer list. Annabelle, nope, I already read that. Regina Danner, prayer request for Zach to be protected from abuse from father and young child. Peggy Caulfield, please pray for Paul. His insomnia is really getting bad. Heavenly Father, we have a full list tonight, and we have an open heart, And we ask you, Lord, to hear all these prayers, to heal the people that need healing, to give comfort and strength and encouragement where needed, to restore and reconcile, and to rule and overrule in the lives of everyone that we're praying for tonight, Lord, for your glory, for our good. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So many prayer needs tonight. I love the fact that we have a prayer list, and we have been doing it for many, many years now, and we will continue to do it because people need prayer, and we need to lift each other up. Paul says, look more on the things of others than on your own things. And that's really good advice. All right, one song, and we'll be back after this, and we're going to jump right into the Bible study tonight, debunking the rapture. We'll be right back after this.
See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying. Looking on, a man would think that's such a tragedy. But what the world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree. It broke the chains of sin. But when the blood came streaming down the cross, where my Savior bled and died, it broke the chains of sin.
Flowers of hope sprang up for men.
right. We are about ready to start our Bible study tonight entitled Debunking the Rapture. Now, before we do, I just want to give you a quick update on our Bibles Behind Bars program. We are in the midst of shipping out Bibles to the Stone County Regional Correctional Facility, to Chaplain Billy, who has a ministry at the East Alabama Medical Center, the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center, the Lawrence County Detention Center, the Union Correctional Institution, the St. John's County Jail here in St. Augustine, and the Monroe County Jail Ministry in Madisonville, Tennessee, through Second Chance Ministries, and 1,400 Bibles to the Karnes County Detention Center, and 1,400 Bibles to the South Texas ICE Processing Center. All in all, we are sending out about 6,000 King James Bibles along with 500 John and Romans scripture portions. And we have raised about 80% of the money. We are not 100% of the way there. These shipments are already processing. The orders have already been placed. We're sending them out by faith. If you would like to help us to pay for this, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com. This is the largest single campaign that we have ever had. 6,000 Bibles at one time. And I don't know about you, but I like that. That gets me excited. Thinking about all those inmates receiving Bibles and New Testaments and scripture portions and gospel tracts. And it's all made possible because you guys support this program. You guys support this. You pray for this ministry. You support these outreaches. And it's only possible when God's people do the work that God has called us to do. So if you would like to help us to do this, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation. If God has prospered you, be as generous as you possibly can be. And this is costing a lot of money to do all this. And it is worth every penny. I love the fact that we do this, and Lord willing, we will continue to do this all the way up to the rapture of the church. And if you'd like to help us, just go to BiblesBehindBars.com or go to NowTheEndBegins.com and click on any of the donate links. Thank you, as always, very, very much. All right, let's get right into it. There's this church started by people who were part of the Worldwide Church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong, and they don't like the rapture. And they made this video, The Rapture Debunked, in three questions. So let's listen to a little bit of this, and let's talk about what they think is debunking the rapture of the church.
A vast portion of professing Christianity is obsessed with a myth that clouds their understanding of the end times.
I'm going to stop that right there. Do you hear what he said? I'm going to play that again. A vast portion of Christianity is obsessed with a myth. He didn't say wrong interpretation. He didn't say a different outlook. He didn't say a different conclusion. What does he call it? He calls it a myth. You can hear the anger in his voice.
Obscures other doctrinal truths of the Bible and that provides false hope concerning the Great Tribulation and the days before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And yet it is widely believed. When I travel to various cities giving public presentations concerning the gospel of the kingdom of God and what to expect before Christ's return, some of the most common questions I receive are centered around this myth. So it's time we put that myth to rest. Join me for this episode of Tomorrow's World, where we'll debunk the rapture myth.
Okay, so right off the bat, you understand that this guy does not like the doctrine of the rapture. So the first question, if I could have a conversation with this man, the first question that I would ask him is, wouldn't you want something like that to be true? Even if you believe that it's not true, wouldn't you want that to be true? Does anybody in their right mind want to go through the tribulation? If you're one of those people that want to go through the tribulation, well, there's a name for people like that. I'm not going to say it, but let's let the Bible do the talking. Turn to Amos chapter 5. Turn to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Look at chapter 5 and listen to what Amos has to say about the day of the Lord. Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! Exclamation point. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? This guy in this video is looking forward to the day of the Lord. Amos says, woe unto you.
Warm greetings and welcome to Tomorrow's World, where we work to help you make sense of your world through the pages of the Bible. You know, if I had a dime for every time I've been asked about the rapture, I'd be a wealthy person. When is it coming? Is it before the Great Tribulation, during the Great Tribulation, or after? At the heart of most of these questions is a more fundamental one. Is the common belief in the rapture actually true? Today we're going to...
Now, isn't it funny? He keeps repeating these things like myth and the common belief in the rapture. You know where I learned about the rapture of the church? I didn't learn about it from John Nelson Darby. I didn't learn about it from C.I. Schofield. I definitely didn't learn about it from Mary MacDonald. I learned about the rapture of the church from the same place that you should have learned about it, the Bible.
Tackle that question, and we're going to do it with irrefutable evidence from your Bible. Now, let's begin by being as clear as we can. Before we can address what the Bible does or does not say about the rapture, we first need to define what we mean by the word rapture, because people use it to say many different things. Most use the word to indicate their belief that before Jesus Christ returns to rule the world and before the time of trouble and suffering known as the Great Tribulation, Christians all over the world will be raptured into thin air, taken to heaven. Those who are not Christians will simply see that many people have suddenly vanished without explanation. Planes will plummet from the sky as their Christian pilots disappear. Non-Christian husbands or wives will despair as they wonder where their Christian spouse has disappeared to. And as the world sorts through the mass disappearance, the Great Tribulation will be unleashed on those who are left behind, as the book series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins worded it. Then 3 or 7 years later, depending on who's explaining,
He says 3 years or 7 years later, depending on who's explaining, again, casting aspersions. This man is highly insulting of the Bible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. 3 years or 7 years. Is the tribulation a 7-year period? No. Is the time of Jacob's trouble a 3-year period? No.
Jesus begins his reign on earth. This idea of the rapture as being mysteriously and mystically whisked away from the earth is often associated with the words of the Apostle Paul.
For those of you that believe in the pre-tribulation doctrine that you find in the Bible, Have you ever looked at it as mysterious and mystical? It's not mystical to me. It's not even mysterious to me. Because the Apostle Paul has revealed that mystery. There isn't anything mystical about it. But again, this is typical of the anti-rapture people. They insult and they make you think that there is something wrong with you. There is something wrong with your thinking process.
Who says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God."
Now, right there, as you're going to see, he begins to shoot his own foot in his argument. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that in just a little bit. He just read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And it's this verse that is going to fatally kill his entire argument in just a little bit.
"And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." This is an important passage for those who believe in the rapture, because in the Latin Vulgate translation of verse 17, the word for "we shall."
Now he's taking you off the King James Bible. He's taking you to the Latin Vulgate. He's going to take you all over the place. What this man actually is a glorified, hidden Catholic, is what he is.
"Shall be caught up" is rapiemur, thus the rapture. But is Paul describing what many think of as the rapture, or is he talking about something else entirely?
Now, there's no need to go to the Latin Vulgate. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." I don't need the Latin Vulgate. I have a Bible written in English. And you know what that word "caught up" is? In your Strong's Concordance, it's G726. It is the Greek word harpazo. The Greek word harpazo, which means to seize, to carry off by force, to snatch out, or to snatch away. But he didn't want to give you that definition, and he didn't want to give you that word.
God wants us to read his word carefully, putting the details together to get the most complete picture we can, and that takes diligence. As Paul told the evangelist Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God."
Oh, so turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's see if we can find out what Bible version that he is using. 2 Timothy 2:15 is "study to show thyself approved unto God." Is he using the NIV? Nope. Is he using the ESV? Let's take a look at that. Nope. Is he using the Legacy Standard Bible? Yes, he is using the John MacArthur Legacy Standard Bible, which says, "Be diligent to present yourself to God approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Now, that bears no resemblance to "study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing," not rightly handling, "rightly dividing the word of truth.
A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Similarly, the prophet Isaiah wrote the following: Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Let's do that. Let's rightly divide the word of truth and put the whole of God's word together to help us see the truth about the rapture theory and to understand what to truly expect of the end times.
So now he's using a version that he does not believe. He just told you that we have to rightly divide the word. And yet when he quotes 2 Timothy 2:15, he never gives you the version that's the only version that tells you to rightly divide. I hope you're starting to see the level of mental warfare and manipulation that these people operate on. This is very much like cultic behavior.
And since ideas differ so widely in their details concerning the rapture and what it really means, we're going to focus on Bible passages that will help us clarify the most common elements that are central in most people's beliefs about the rapture. So as the program progresses, keep in mind these three crucial questions.
All right, so he's going to ask three important questions, and they are as follows.
Christians vanish around the world without explanation. Will Christians be caught up into the air years before Jesus returns? And will Christians spend the great tribulation in heaven?
The answer to all three of those questions is a resounding yes. That's the conclusion that you come to if you believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, you come to this conclusion.
Remember those questions. And as we look into what the Bible says will actually happen with true Christians at the return of Jesus Christ, you will see each of these questions answered plainly and simply in God's Word. And when you do, you'll see that the popular idea of the rapture is little more than a popular myth. So does the Bible teach that years before Jesus returns in visible glory to rule the world, Christians around the world will vanish and secretly be caught up into heaven right before the time of global horrors known as the Great Tribulation? No, it doesn't. We can begin to see this if we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But this time, let's begin reading in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God.
Stop right there. Did you hear what he said? He said, and with the trumpet of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Can anybody tell me what that verse actually says? Does Paul say that Jesus is going to come down from the clouds with a trumpet? What does 1 Thessalonians 4:16 actually say? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. For many years, I played the trumpet along with the violin and the piano and the guitar. I was raised very musically. And one of the first things that I learned about a trumpet is the name for the sound that a trumpet makes. You want to take a wild guess what the sound is called that a trumpet makes? It is called a trump. It is a sound. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. It's not a trumpet. It is a voice that sounds like a trumpet. In chapter 1 of Revelation, it says it is the sound of many waters. It's very loud, and it's strong, and it's authoritative. But you know what it's not? It is not a trumpet. It is the voice of Jesus Christ that the Bible calls the trump of God, not the trumpet of God. And this is why we stick with the King James Bible.
And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Too many are so enraptured, pun intended, with seeing the rapture in this passage that they skip right over those elements that prove Paul is not talking about their idea of a rapture. For instance, Paul says that this is the time of the resurrection of those who died in Christ, those he describes as asleep, saying, "The dead in Christ will rise first."
All right, so the second thing that this man does not understand is he does not understand what the first and second resurrection actually is and what the first resurrection actually does. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verses 4 through 6. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection is in three parts. First fruits. Jesus went to the cross, he went to the grave, rose again on the third day, and when he did that, the graves of many of the saints that slept were opened. That's first fruits, that's the first part. The second part, the main part of the first resurrection, is the harvest. That's what we call the pre-tribulation rapture. That's going to be the bulk of it. And then you're going to have the gleanings from the tribulation saints. Those three parts make up the first resurrection, and that is spread out over a 2,000-year period. This man is looking at it as a singular, one-time, one-day event.
He also says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God.
Again, not to beat a dead horse, it is with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, not the trumpet.
This doesn't seem like a quiet, mysterious vanishing to me. More like a triumphant event announced to the world by the returning Jesus Christ. But my personal opinion doesn't matter, and neither does yours. Instead of settling for opinion, let's look into additional Bible passages that describe this event. As we read earlier, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For example, the Apostle Paul describes the exact same event in another passage, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read there, starting in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now notice, the dead are raised in incorruptible glory, and the living will be transformed at that time as well, just as we read in 1 Thessalonians. Now is this done quietly? No, again, just as we saw earlier, this happens with the sound of a mighty trumpet. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet...
His whole argument, as you're starting to figure out, is based on the idea that when Jesus comes to gather us together up in the clouds, that he's going to be blowing a trumpet. Now, why would the Lord need to blow a trumpet? That's ridiculous. And yet, his whole argument is based on the idea of the Lord coming back with a trumpet.
Will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In fact, read that again carefully. It happens not just at any trumpet, but at the last trumpet. This implies that there is a sequence of trumpets, and the resurrection and glorification of the saints occurs at the last of these trumpets. So ask yourself, is there any passage of Scripture that describes a series of trumpets in the end times?
Now he's going to take you to the book of Revelation, showing you the judgments that will be falling during the Great Tribulation.
Because if there is, then we have located the time of this resurrection and transformation of faithful Christians. And in fact, yes, the Bible does describe a sequence of trumpets. We don't need to guess or theorize or debate about it. The Bible makes it plain. And as it does, we will see the answers to our three questions beginning to take shape as well. The book of Revelation gives us a specific sequence leading up to Jesus' return and the commencement of the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 6 reveals the seven prophetic seals of Revelation, which the Apostle John says.
Revelation chapter 6 does not reveal the seven prophetic seals. It reveals six of the seven prophetic seals. The seventh seal is not revealed to Revelation chapter 8.
Sees in vision, opened in sequence by Jesus Christ to reveal the end time events ahead. The first four seals represent the four horsemen of the apocalypse, symbolizing global religious deception, warfare, famine, and disease. Verse 8 says that power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. The prophetic pathway continues with the fifth seal, describing a martyrdom of true Christians. In Matthew 24 and verse 21, Jesus describes this time.
You see what he just did? Where did he just take you? Turn to Matthew 24, 21. Are these verses written to a Christian? No, they are not. Matthew 24, 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." You know what verse 16 says? Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Is that for you? Are you going as a Christian? Are you in Judea? Are you in Judah? Are you in Jerusalem? Are you in Israel? Are you concerned with anything that's happening there as a Christian? No, you would not be. What does verse 15 say? When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. What is the holy place? It is the rebuilt temple. Are Christians going to be at the rebuilt temple? No, they are not.
I'm saying, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. This is a time so terrible that no time before nor after will ever compare. After 2.5 years of this tribulation, the sixth seal is opened, and the heavenly signs take place. A great earthquake, the sun darkened, the moon red as blood, the stars falling from the sky, and every mountain and island on earth shaken. These announce that God and Jesus Christ are about to personally intervene in world affairs. That time is described by the prophet Isaiah as the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion.
It is also described in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7. And what does Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7 say? For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of the church's trouble. No, it is even the time of the Christian's trouble. No, it is even the time of Jacob's trouble. This is talking about the nation of Israel. Has nothing to do with the church.
This year-long day of the Lord begins when the seventh seal of Revelation is opened. We read of this in Revelation 8, verses 1 and 2. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Finally, we see where a sequence of trumpets appears in end time events, exactly what Paul's description told us to expect.
Paul's description said nothing about any trumpets at any time. Paul was not talking about a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul doesn't talk about a trumpet ever. He talks about the trump of God. Revelation 4 verse 1 explains and defines that as a voice like a trumpet. It is not a trumpet. This man has made his entire argument on trumpets, something that Paul never even mentions.
After the end time rides of the four horsemen, the great tribulation, and the heavenly signs, we come to the series of trumpets indicated by the Apostle Paul. And those first six trumpet blasts are devastating. One third of Earth's vegetation is burned up. One third of the seas become blood. One third of ships and marine life are destroyed. One third of the planet's waters become bitter. And one third of the sun, moon, and stars cease to shine. Then, in the most destructive military exchange in history, one third of mankind is obliterated. Joel chapter 2 calls the day of the Lord great and very terrible for a reason. It represents God's wrath unleashed on unrepentant mankind.
Do you remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Are any of the words that this man used so far, do you find comfort in anything that this man has said? No, because he is giving you the day of the Lord. He is not giving you the day of Christ. He is giving you things that are uncomfortable, that are not comforting, that are dark and foreboding and scary. That's what this man is giving you. That's not what Paul wrote. When Paul talks about this event, it is a happy event. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Turn to Titus chapter 2. No, I'm sorry, Titus chapter 3. No. Too many windows open. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says these are comforting words. These are things that we should be looking forward to. What does Amos say about the day of the Lord? Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. That's not comforting. Obviously, these are two separate events.
Yet these terrors are only the first six of the seven trumpets. The seventh, last trumpet is described in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Paul says that at this trumpet, the seventh, declaring the authority of the kingdom of God over the world, the resurrection occurs. When faithful Christians, past and present, are gathered, glorified with immortality, and brought to meet Christ, to become his bride, and to participate in the vanquishing of his enemies and the inauguration of the reign of God's kingdom.
You see how he just conflated all of that together? He just mushes it all towards the middle. And that's what he comes up with. He makes it one event. It's not one event. It's multiple events that take place over a seven-year period.
All of this proves that this is no secret vanishing. In fact, Jesus Christ...
Can you show for me the passage in anything that Paul or John wrote that says that the pre-tribulation rapture is a secret? The only people that I know that call it the secret rapture are the people like this guy who mock the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture and want to steal your blessed hope from you. They call it the secret rapture. It's no secret to me. I've been reading about it for over 30 years. I've been teaching about it for over 15 years. We have written hundreds of articles having to do with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. For many decades now, Christians have made movies and written books about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. How on earth would anybody think it was a secret rapture?
Personally described this moment to his disciples to make the public nature of this event very clear. Read it for yourself starting in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29.
Now he's going to take you to the favorite verse of every post-toasty. Matthew 24:29. After the tribulation of those days. If you're ever debating the rapture with anybody, and they take you to Matthew chapter 24, 29 through 31, at that moment, they have revealed themselves to be a non-rightly dividing, non-dispensational post-toasty.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Now, get Matthew 24 in one hand, and get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the other hand. So I want 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Matthew 24, and let's take a look at what he just told you. And again, he shot his own argument in the foot. In Matthew chapter 24, this is what we read in verse 31. Matthew 24, 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, this rapture is very, very different from the rapture that Paul talks about. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. In the rapture that Paul talks about, Jesus is doing it personally. He's not sending an angel. He's not using a trumpet. He is coming himself, as he promised to do. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the rapture that Paul talks about. The rapture that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24, he's not coming personally. He is sending his angels. There is no voice like a trumpet. There are actual trumpets.
My friend, these passages are inseparable. Their descriptions of the end time events are consistent and in perfect sequence. The Great Tribulation, the heavenly signs, the seven trumpets, the revealing of Christ to the world at the last trumpet, and the resurrection, gathering, and glorifying of true Christians as the kingdom of God commences its glorious reign. And where will that reign begin? Not in heaven. Rather, as Revelation 5 says, those glorified Christians will have been made kings and priests to their God, and they shall reign on the earth. No one will vanish into thin air as unsaved loved ones wonder where they went.
Again, do you see how he's taking all these different events and he is just squishing them into one big event that happens at the same time? And he's making everybody a Christian. The Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, the church saints, everybody becomes a Christian. Isn't that what Constantine did at the start of the Roman Catholic Church? And he waves his hands and says, if you're a Roman citizen, you are now a Christian. And he just made everybody a Christian. Well, that's what this guy's doing. He's taking all these different events from different dispensations and he's squishing them all together.
All eyes will see and all ears will hear. The rapture is simply a misunderstanding that conceals the magnificent truth of Scripture. Still, that might leave some worried. Does this mean that every Christian must go through the tribulation? No, it doesn't. Though some will, while others are protected, though not by a rapture. We asked, will Christians vanish around the world mysteriously and without explanation? We saw in the pages of the Bible that no, they will not. Christians will join Christ at the first resurrection, at the same time when all the tribes of the earth will see Jesus returning. Will Christians be caught up into the air years before Jesus returns to rule? Again, no, they won't. The resurrection of true Christians occurs when the very last trumpet is blown.
All right. That's about all that I can take of that guy. that is just a big hodgepodge of nonsense. Now, let me just briefly give to you the seven major differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Number one, the rapture will cause the saints of God to be taken to heaven, and the rapture ends the church age. At the second coming of Christ, Jesus brings the saints back with him as the armies of heaven at the second coming, Revelation 19:14. That's difference number one. Difference number two, at the rapture of the church, Jesus will not touch the earth. He is going to bring us up into the clouds to meet him in the air. At the second coming, his feet do touch the earth in Zechariah 14, verses 4 and 5. Point number three, the rapture is before the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble. At the second coming, that takes place at the end of the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble. Point number four, Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead. At the second coming, he is coming to cause death and bloodshed. Doesn't Revelation say that the blood is going to be as high as the horse bridles? Doesn't Isaiah say that he stomps his enemies like grapes under his feet? That's a huge difference. Number five, at the rapture of the church, the rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. He cannot be revealed until the saints be taken off of the earth. That's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. At the second coming, that will bring an end to the reign of the Antichrist. Point number six, the rapture of the church will cause the time of Jacob's trouble to begin, whereas the second coming will cause the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19. Last point, at the rapture, Jesus is coming for the church saints. At the second coming, Jesus is coming back to deliver the nation of Israel. Turn to Revelation 1:7. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You and I are not going to wail and cry at the rapture unless it's tears of joy. But there is going to be tears that are going to take place at the second coming, because these events are not the same. And obviously the church that made this video that I just played for you, they do not rightly divide. They are not dispensational. They do not use the King James Bible. And if they do use it, they don't believe it. It is just one of many translations that they open up that they use. And the reason why we looked at these things is because I know a lot of Christians who don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And these people are not content with them having what they believe and you having what you believe. You know what one of the signs of a cult is? Where they do not allow you to have a differing opinion. You have to believe what they believe. And they will work and work and work until they find some sort of a crack in your belief system, and they're not going to quit until you stop believing in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church that Paul teaches about. These people are not in ministry. They are here to steal your blessed hope from you. And that is one of the signs of a cult. It's not all where they live on compounds and wear orange robes and do all those different things. Sometimes a cult can just exist mentally or spiritually. But any time that you have somebody who is trying to steal your beliefs from you, that is not ministry, that is not Bible study. I have never tried to steal anybody's beliefs that they hold. I do my best to teach Bible truth, rightly divided, dispensationally correct. If you can get something from it, that's great. Praise the Lord. And if you can't, then that's that. But I don't spend 5 minutes of my day ever trying to win a debate with somebody, trying to win an argument with somebody, trying to steal from somebody what they believe. I just open up the book and I teach the book. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you, he doesn't convict you. And there's nothing that I can do about that. It is obvious that there is a difference between the rapture that Paul talks about and the rapture that Jesus talks about in Matthew and Luke. They don't look the same. They don't sound the same. They don't act the same. They have a different timeline. They have different events. They have different characters. They have different players. One has a trumpet, the other doesn't have a trumpet. One uses angels, the other one doesn't have any angels at all. How in a million years could you ever think that they were the same event? Things that are different are not the same. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. Please join us, Lord willing, here tomorrow, noon Eastern time. We're going to have a big podcast on the solar eclipse and the path of totality. I found this image online a couple of hours ago, and it appears to be a poster that somebody put up on a pole of some kind. It says, "Are you ready for the rapture? Jesus is coming on April 8th, 2024. Could the rapture be tomorrow? It absolutely could be. Would it have anything to do with the solar eclipse? Not a thing. But tomorrow we will look at the solar eclipse, as well as a whole bunch of other things that are taking place that you need to know about. So that's it. We've come to the end of our time. Thank you, as always, for being a part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon for the Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Savior, waiting the coming. grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Jesus, my Savior, vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph on his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints.